You would look with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs to chapter 4. The book of Proverbs, and in chapter 4, I'd like to read a couple of verses here, and then also read from the book of 1 Timothy. The book of Proverbs, and in chapter 4. Now begin in verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. If you would, just notice two words in verse 2. Good doctrine. Good doctrine. Now I'm going to the book of 1 Timothy, and in chapter 4, 1 Timothy, and in chapter 4, and I read from verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And certainly that's our message this morning. Good doctrine. As we mentioned, good doctrine, that is in opposition to bad doctrine. Both Solomon and the Apostle Paul did speak of good doctrine. I want us to notice this morning at this matter of doctrine and the importance of good doctrine. And just the doctrine of our Lord. I think I've told you before, but I'll tell you again because it fits what I'm going to speak on this morning. Years ago, a church had got a new pastor. And a lady was telling me about the new pastor and how much she liked the new pastor. And she just went on and on, and she said one of the reasons that she liked the new pastor was that he did not preach any doctrine. And she was very serious in that. It's a sad thing that to many, doctrine is not important. Whether someone teaches good doctrine is just not really important to a lot of people. Whether a church stands for good doctrine is not important to many professing Christians. Whether a church is socially acceptable in the world is more important to many than the doctrine of God. There are many that are raised in modern churches that do not even know what good doctrine is, for they've never heard it. They've been brought up all of their life hearing the doctrines of men rather than the doctrines of God, and they do not know good doctrine. The word doctrine in itself simply means instruction. It means knowledge. It means a system of truth. A system of truth. You might hold your place here. I'll come back to it later. But I want to read to you from the book of Jude. From the book of Jude. And reading verse 3. Jude, in verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Notice the words, the faith. The faith. That is the system of faith, the body of faith. It involves everything that is taught in the Word of God. The faith. And so it is with doctrine. It can stand for the whole teaching of the Word of God. And just another reminder, when we find in the Scripture doctrine concerning to the doctrine of God, it's always in the singular. But when we find the same word as it relates to false teaching, the word doctrine is always in the plural. And there's a reason for that. False religion has many different forms and many different doctrines. Christianity has one doctrine, has only one doctrine, and it is the Word of God, both Old and New Testaments. That is our doctrine. We have not, since I've been here, and as far as I know, never has been, we have never set forth a doctrinal statement. And the reason for that, if we were to set forth a complete doctrinal statement, all we would be doing was copying the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. That is our doctrinal statement, the Word of God. I want to point out several things about false doctrine. If you be going to Matthew chapter 15, the Bible has a lot to say about false doctrine. It probably has more to say about false doctrine than it does good doctrine. And there's a reason for that, I'm sure. In the book of Matthew and in chapter 15, Matthew and in chapter 15, these are the words of Jesus. Jesus, unlike many today, spoke very bluntly, plainly. He did not sugarcoat things. He told it as it is. And you'll notice in verse 7, he said, "Ye hypocrites." Ye hypocrites. Just think of Jesus confronting a people. You'll notice in verse 1, it's the Pharisees. And he says, "You hypocrites." You know, the word hypocrite comes from a word that really means a stage actor, one that plays the part of another. It's not who they really are. And that's what Jesus said here in verse 7. "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you." How well we see the inspiration of the Word of God, that even the prophet Isaiah many years ago spoke of people like these Pharisees. "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now, I'm not going to dwell here, but I want you to notice in verse 9, it's not a failure to worship. "They do worship me," he said, but he said it's vain, it's empty, it's meaningless. "In vain do they worship me." What is it that made it worthless worship? "Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Galatians, and in chapter 5, the book of Galatians, and in chapter 5, I'll begin in verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Heresies. Notice it is listed here as a part of the works of the flesh. What is a heresy? How would you define this word heresies here? Well, I looked it up, as I usually do. Heresy literally means a self-willed opinion which is substituted for biblical doctrine. That's what the word in the scripture, heresy, means. And notice again what it means. It's a self-willed opinion that is substituted for biblical doctrine. Paul wrote here that heresies, these self-willed opinions, are no more than the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. Go with me, if you would, from here to the book of 2 Peter. In the book of 2 Peter and in chapter 2. 2 Peter and in chapter 2, and I began in verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, as there shall be false teachers among you. What's Peter say? There has been and there will be false teachers among you. Who is this you? Who is this you that he's speaking of here? Well, it's the people of God. It's the people of God. And this is an important statement here. He says there were, and then he says there shall be false teachers among you. Notice what false teachers do. Who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Damnable heresies. That's what Peter did write of here. Damnable heresies in verse 1. This word damnable that is used here, damnable heresies, means destructive. That's what this word damnable here means. It means destructive. Now think about this. Destructive heresies. False doctrine will lead to ruin. It is destructive. That's what the words here literally mean. Usually, it is associated in one way, either directly or indirectly, with having the prospect of self-gain. Heresies. Damnable heresies. What I just mentioned, notice verse 3. It says about these false teachers, through covetousness, that gives you a clue right there about self-gain, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Self-gain. False teachers. I told Janice about this a few weeks ago. A lady came in my office and she said, "Here's my tithe." She wanted to give me personally her tithe. I said, "Well, the tithe goes to the church." She said, that's not what a preacher on TV said. And she went on to say that the preacher on TV said that there are demons attached to all money until you tithe on it. And that preacher went on to say, now the tithe should be set to me. First, instill fear. There's demons attached to money until you tithe on it. But send your tithe to me or give it to a preacher. And she wanted to give me her tithe. But that's how false teachers make merchandise of people. With their false teaching, with their damnable heresies. And if you read here in 2 Peter chapter 2 again, just verses 1 through verse 3, you get a very clear picture of false prophets. You'll notice in verse 2, by whom, or by reason of whom, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I'm going to Colossians and in chapter 2. Colossians and in chapter 2. And I'll begin reading in verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught. There's that word, the faith again, by the way. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man. That means what? Any man. No matter who the false teacher is, no matter who the preacher is, beware lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Philosophy, vain deceit, and once again in verse 8, the traditions of men. Now I'm going to 1 Timothy and in chapter 4. In 1 Timothy, and I'm still just reading a few scriptures that give the biblical description of false doctrine. 1 Timothy and in chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from what? The faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You'll also notice speaking lies in hypocrisy. The description here of false doctrine, it is that of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Not only the traditions and doctrines of men, but the doctrines of devils. Now I go to the book of Hebrews in chapter 13. The book of Hebrews and in chapter 13, again, writing to saints, warnings, cautions. Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 9. And be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Divers means many, many faceted, many different types. And he is saying here, don't be carried away with it. Strange doctrines. Strange. False doctrine is strange doctrine. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Why do we harp on grace so much? I mean, we just speak of grace. We speak of grace over and over. God willing, we'll never get tired of speaking of grace. It is a protection against false doctrine. It protects us from being, in verse 9 says, carried about with these strange doctrines. Why is it so many, and I believe true Christians, are carried about with strange doctrines? They don't know grace. They're not grounded in grace. And it's strange. All these things that we have read, and I could read many more, every doctrine that you can think of will fall into one of those, if not all of those categories. Damnable heresies. Strange doctrines. False doctrine. In the book of 1 Timothy again, as you're turning, I'll say, no matter how any doctrine is accepted by the modern world and modern churches, no matter who the preacher may be and how well they're thought of, if they're teaching things contrary to the Word of God, not consistent with the Word of God, they're a false teacher promoting heresy. Whether they are aware they're doing that or not, it's still heresy. But note this, if you would, in 2 Timothy. I may have said 1 Timothy. I'm going to 2 Timothy. And in chapter 4. Verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. As surely as there is false doctrine, strange doctrine, heresies, there is also in verse 3 this matter of sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. In verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. That's sound doctrine. And shall be turned unto fables. You're right at the book of Titus. Look in Titus chapter 1 and in verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. Sound doctrine. In verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers, deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Same thing we saw earlier. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil boosts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Sound doctrine. Sound in the faith. I'll ask another question. What does that word sound mean? Sound doctrine. Sound in the faith. Well, the word that's translated in these verses, sound, means healthy. It means wholesome. Good doctrine is healthy. False doctrine is not healthy. And it's just that simple. This word sound, the word that's translated sound, it's interesting to me, we get the word hygiene from that same word. It's clean. It's clean. It is healthy. Keep that in mind. It's healthy. The word means wholesome. Look back to 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse 3. You'll find this, wholesome words. That word wholesome again, it's the same word that's translated sound doctrine. Here it's translated wholesome. Sound doctrine is both spiritually good and it's healthy doctrine. False doctrine is not spiritually healthy. People that are feasting on diets of false doctrine are not spiritually healthy people. Sound doctrine is healthy spiritually. It's wholesome. False doctrine is detrimental to your spiritual health. This could be the reason that the great physician said, take heed what you hear. Because false doctrine is not healthy doctrine. Solomon wrote, cease, my son, to hear instruction that causes thee to err from the words of truth. Just stop. Just stop. I can understand the attraction of false teachers and false doctrine to unbelievers because false doctrine and false teachers appeal to the flesh. And I can understand that attraction to unbelievers, but I cannot for the life of me understand the attraction of false doctrine to a true believer. I just don't understand it. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished, notice this, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Good doctrine is nourishing. There's something healthy and nourishing about good doctrine. Now, keep that in mind, if you would. It's healthy, it's wholesome. It nourishes us. Go with me to 2 Timothy in chapter 2. 2 Timothy and in chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's good doctrine there. But shun profane and vain babblings. That's false teachers and what they have to say. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. It's detrimental. And their word will eat as doth a canker. Good doctrine, healthy, wholesome, nourishes you. False doctrine will eat as a canker. Canker. That's gangrene. Gangrene. That's some description of false doctrine in the Word of God. Gangrene is an eating sore that spreads corruption And if not treated soon and treated properly, it'll lead to death. Remember, false doctrine, damnable heresies lead to destruction. Here, the inspired writing says, their word will eat as doth a canker. It's not good for you. It's not good for you. It's so serious. Just another reminder, Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 8. This matter is so serious. Paul said in Galatians 1:8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's how serious false doctrine is. That's how serious a false gospel is. Paul said it does not matter whether it's me or whether it's an angel from heaven. If they preach another gospel, let them be damned when the Lord returns. Let them be damned. How many today do you know whose thinking is in line with the Apostle Paul here in verse 8 concerning those that preach false doctrine? Be hard-pressed to think of someone, wouldn't you? Let them be damned, is what Paul said. Let them be accursed. And he said, whether it's me or an angel, whoever it may be, let them be accursed. God's people are called upon to distinguish between false teachers and true teachers. False doctrine and true doctrine. That's my responsibility, and it's your responsibility to be able to distinguish between the two. 1 Thessalonians. And when I mentioned distinguishing between true and false doctrine, it's not whether something sounds good to you. It's not something that just makes you feel good. Or it's not just something that everybody else believes, so surely it's true. How do we distinguish between false and true? The Word of God. That's it. It's not my opinion or your opinion. It's what the Scripture has to say. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 and in verse 21, prove all things. That word prove means put it to the test. Test it. But it also says hold fast that which is good. And you ought to be able to distinguish between the two, what's good or bad. Prove, test all things. You remember in the book of 1 John and in chapter 4. In 1 John and in chapter 4, verse 1. And again, we know by the very first word in this verse, he's writing to saints, beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't believe everything you've heard. But try the spirits. That word try again means prove, put it to the test. Put it to the test. Try the spirits. Whether they are of God. And here's the reason. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know, if everyone was a true prophet, a true man of God, and simply and always preach the truth, you wouldn't have to try anything. But I'm infallible. Every other preacher and teacher is rather fallible. We have faults. We have misunderstandings, misinterpretation. Whatever I say, don't take it because I say it. Try it. Test it. If it's false, cast it away. Just hold on to what's good. Prove all things, the Scripture says. Let me close with this. I'm going to the book of John. Where does good doctrine come from? You might could say, well, the Word of God, the Scripture, the Bible, and that would be true, but not completely true. Where did those that wrote the Scripture, where did they get it from? I mean, they're not the origin of it. Where did they get it from? Where did the apostles get their doctrine? Or you could say, well, they got it from Christ. Well, that's true, but that's not all of it. Where did Christ get his doctrine? Where does sound doctrine come from? The book of John, chapter 7, verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Where did Jesus get his doctrine? He says, not mine. It's not mine, but his that sent me. And it was the Father that sent the Son. So if we want to trace the origin of the doctrine of God, the Scripture, all the sound doctrine, trace it all the way back, you go to God the Father. God the Father. The source. The author. Sound doctrine is not the product of earth, but of heaven. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. Scripture is given by inspiration of God. False doctrine, and I mentioned this in our Bible study briefly, in any degree is false doctrine. And it's harmful. It's harmful. If I were, and I don't know how, but if I were to bake you a beautiful loaf of bread, I mean the prettiest loaf of bread you've ever seen, but I tell you now, put just a little bit of arsenic in there, would you eat it? I don't think you would. You wouldn't. Why swallow false doctrine? Knowing it's harmful. A goat will eat anything. This is sheep food. And it nourishes. It nourishes. The Bible says, and I won't turn there, I'll just mention it to you. You could look at it. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. It says, buy the truth and sell it not. Obtain it at any cost. Forfeit it at no cost. Buy the truth and sell it not.